Thank you. And good evening. Thank you very much. As I think if you can lower on the echo, it will be easier to understand my tongue. I speak in an unknown tongue. It's called American English. And you can open, please, into the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. I've been preaching through the book of 2 Corinthians. And I'm very happy to see each and every one of you here this evening. And may the Lord bless you and speak unto your hearts by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And I will actually open us in prayer, and then we'll have our message. Our Father, as we are gathered here to hear your word, to hear the gospel of your grace, we pray that you might speak unto us in the Holy Spirit's power, that you control my spirit, and that you give a hearing ear unto the people, that we may be reconciled unto you and may be one in Christ. Give the blessing for his name's sake. Amen. And so from,
if you could lower that echo, please.
Is I want to take us unto the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And I want unto work from verse number 14 through verse number 17 this evening. And the title of the message is, I Will Not Be Burdensome Unto You. As Paul says here in verse number 14, now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. And what he's saying here is that his ministry it's a ministry of helping others. It's a ministry of giving. It's a ministry of reconciliation between God, the Father, and the people that he has chosen and that he has given unto his Son. And he says, for I do not seek yours. I don't seek after what you have. I'm not pursuing after your money or your praise. But you, I want what is best for you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Here is the first principle of God's grace that I want to bring this evening, is that pastors, like preachers, are like parents. A pastor is like a parent in the sense that he gives unto his children. He's not trying to take from his children. He's not going to sell his children into slavery in order to reap the benefits. He recognizes it's his responsibility, her responsibility, to provide for them. That is what a true pastor is. And I won't have you turn to a lot of scripture, but take a listen unto this. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, and is everyone able to understand me? I would really love if the echo served. Is it possible to turn the echo off? Off. And what's he saying? Is you able to understand me clearly? Okay. I don't like when to preach and have to, and then I hear myself twice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. For our exhortation, it did not come from error. It was not a false gospel. Or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. It didn't have a deceitful motive. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, this gift of God's grace, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which tests our heart. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that his ministry, sir, it was not a design around bringing people unto himself. It was not a design around making money off of the people. He sought as a parent to store up for the children. And he manifested this sincerity, this pure motive at the church at Corinth. He labored for them free of charge. He served them even while he had a job as he was working in the field making tents. He labored over them just as a parent would, very selflessly. Now I know in Nigeria and in the USA, a parent can get glory out of their children and be very self-motivated in all that they do, that they feed, house, clothe, and educate that child all for himself. I know that is a reality of sinful man. I know that a man has to be born again and a woman to truly love God. For we are very selfish and even our best motives are just filthy rags. But what Paul is saying by illustration is that the preacher is not here to be served. The preacher is here to serve you. He is your servant. He's to wash your feet. I kiss old man's feet, but I will be about to humble myself by the Spirit of Christ and wash. People were coming unto the faith of Christ, and the pastor asked them to turn. Exceedingly faithful now, and very very zealous in the gospel. But I think as kind of a remnant of the flesh, that they had an old-fashioned foot washing service. I will never do that again. I do not like touching a man's feet at all. But spiritually, I want to wash my feet and serve you in the gospel. You don't exist for me, I exist for you. That is the mind and the heart of the faithful pastor who's been loved by God. The scripture says that freely you have received, also freely give. And we're to be loving, and we're to be generous, and we're to be gracious hearted, because we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. I will give my all unto you. Though the more abundantly I love you, it's the less I'm loved." As you see, Paul was motivated by the grace of Christ. Now, while he was rich, he became infinitely poor for our sakes. He endured the wrath of God as upon the cross of Calvary. He suffered and bled and died in order to give us eternal life. And in essence, he gave us everything in order to give us everything. And so Paul, being motivated by the grace of Christ, he had a greater commandment than the law. That would love me. I must enter into the depth of eternity. I must think back when God was a deciding who would be saved. And he put me and you in Christ Jesus. Now, with God, he never decides anything. He's always known all of his ways at all times. But because God can never learn anything, he's always loved us in Christ, whatever he has been. He's always had this plan A of love. But in this plan, he has both Jews and Caesar, both Jacob and Esau, both Moses and Pharaoh, both the fallen angels, just like Satan, and the angels who he would preserve from falling away in their rebellion against him and utter futility. And that was God deciding who would be saved. He put me in the room to go to life. And if he had left us out, of course, he probably would not have. The decision to make my God. Nobody else was on the throne, or even asking a permission that's given to me with God. He decided that Adam would fall into transgression. Known unto God all of his ways from the beginning. And he made man upright, but he watched us fall for a purpose that was greater than the damnation of the hypocrites, which is the salvation of the sinner. And then he said, and the infiniteness of the wrath of God. It would take his everlasting soul just to pay for one sin. One thought of foolishness, it would admit that Jesus Christ had to die. God had to die for one sin. If anybody is going to be saved for one sin, but the untold, innumerable, countless sins of us, every thought of foolishness is sin, every lust in the heart of corruption is worthy of eternal damnation. And he suffered the wrath of God. And being the infinite and the almighty of God, and a man in the same person, he was able to bear our transgressions by the infiniteness of his person, and he was able to die. And then he revealed himself unto us by the Holy Spirit. this is the miracle that you can see God in His glory, in the gospel, in the pages of Scripture, that you can understand the Bible. It was through the electing love, through blood redemption, and into the eye of the power of the Spirit, for we knew would be helpless, blind, and deceived by false apostles right now. We cannot get our way out of it. The devil.
Repeat verse number 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent. I'm not going to stop. Not for your souls. He's not after pride. He's not after, his own vain ambition. He's not trying to build an empire. He's building the kingdom of Christ. He is actually, he's loving and he's serving other people as the Lord Jesus Christ hath served him. He's free from the bondage of sin. He's liberated. Love is flowing in his heart by the Holy Ghost. He loved people, not just doctrine, not just Bible reading, not just knowledge, but human beings. He loves them with his soul. He expends himself. And even though of the more abundantly I love you, Paul says, I'm not going to stop, even though it means it is the less I am loved. He's saying this, my sister, that other people in their hatred towards me means nothing on this mission. I'm not going to love them because I'm going to love them because He loved me. And I love them because He said so. And He's been liberated from the bondage. Dost thou know that He forgives us? Translate that love towards God, that freedom, that emotion of joy, jubilation towards God, into forgiveness of sins and in great thankfulness. And put it into practice for us. Look up in the heaven through the word.
God until your heart is filled with passion and compassion to love people even when they hate you. Even when the church is against you. Even when the people are so immature that they actually cannot value you or manage you. Even when people try
minutes only, and to make themselves look bigger.
I even, as a man was actually speaking in Hausa, but every few words are English, and I understood exactly what he said. He said this: if you really serve God like me, people will come all the way from the United States. Yes.
This morning,
at around, it was just before 6 a.m., I was up at 5, and I got a call from my friend in Washington State. It's on the west coast of the U.S. And he had kind of booked an appointment with me to talk. On Monday, it's now Wednesday, sorry. And he had told me already, I thought, I don't feel the presence of God. So I'm expecting that he's in fornication. And my heart is going to break, I'm going to be scared. If you've gone that far into degradation. But thank you.
I think
God, it makes you pastor. And the Almighty God uses that as a way to love. And it scares your character. Long as you've got God and he's ready to die. But we got to be talking about how the blood of Christ. And I've been there. I told him, brother, don't you remember he found me in the sewer? He had many of the Washington with his wife in the California just to be under my ministry right before I quit preaching. To never preach again in my life.
This great apostle, this man, this human being, I can look at Christ and say, that's impossible. But this was a man like me. This was a sinner. And look what God did with him. I want to be like Paul. How about you? How about you? I want to be like him. I have no choice but the word of God says. And I can't preach it if I don't actually have it in my heart. But look at verse number 16. It says, but be it as it may, I did not burden you. I did not take your money. I did not want your offering. I didn't want your tithe. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. He snuck up on them. How? He took no money and came into church out for free anyway, on the side, up until he got into the pulpit. He lived, even if he wasn't preaching, he was preaching the gospel to somebody else until finally an opportunity came and he could preach Christ. I snuck up on you. I used God. I tricked you. He thought I was a little bit. Now the apostle has come. I got it. Ended up in the pulpit. I don't get paid as I travel. If the people give, it's fine.
It's the pastor that ought to be supported if you preach faithfully. That's a church. But the pastor doesn't care if he's got God in his heart and burdens. Not in his
And we have got them to be like this. Lord God, purge my heart. Change my heart. That's our prayer. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me clean on the inside. Make my motives pure. Make me love these people like Paul did. He'll give it. Then you look at verse numbers 17, 18, and I'll be done. It's the apostle said, now, did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent? He's saying that that would be clever. That would be sneaky. That's the spirit of Gehazi. You remember him? What did he do? He ran from behind. In verse number 18, I urged Titus and sent our brother, that's probably Timothy, but he is so well known for his faithfulness, he's just called our brother. He humbled himself and said, our brother. He loved him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Is Matthew not of the same character as me? Because if he's not, then the fault is mine. If this sister here has unholy character, I know she's still growing in grace as a young child of God, new to the faith of Christ. But if she has
and God bless you.
now that big fat man
becomes fat
and falls back to him as fat. And him being fat, he was slothful of the ministry.
He was lazy.
He did not approve in the gate.
And so what Paul is saying is, look at this. Did not we walk in the same spirit? Did not we walk in the same steps? Paul is saying,
if I let Matthew be unfaithful, it means I'm not faithful.
But he picked me, who was faithful to the gospel message, because he meant it. And so on our way here, you know, there was a young man in a hot rod car, and he was a bad guy. Driving too fast. And so Matthew spoke up, and I spoke up, and said, slow down, slow down. What happened, man? In the rain, and there's a big trailer, and I'm in the front seat, and I know what happened. He swerved, he's another car that's coming.
Every day, every hour, keep me by the Spirit of me. change every time it replaces his king for us on the way of sin. So Paul said, I'm not going to be burdened. I'm going to love his people. And he gives us an example to follow. And our expectations for everybody that we want. If something happens to be in our door, look for a festival. The Lord bless you.
Amen. There's no question. Those who have the love of God, which is nice. Let's not despise the rebuke of the Lord. See, we are pastors. Because it doesn't just by us. This does not allow us to reflect these things. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet by sin, he came poor. That we might be rich. That we might taste the eternity of light, peace, and joy in God. That our soul will be resurrected from the dead. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know the grace? Grace puts our names in the book of life before the foundation of God. Grace brought us to this life. Grace didn't us around for continuing our destruction. Grace. What is that grace? Some of us were better at first time. Yes, say we are rich now. We have made up nothing. Not only are we poor, we are riches. And that grace has brought us from far Africa and has brought us anything this day. Perhaps some of us have been some riches or some things now. But grace that never failed. Grace of God that we will be eternal. It has brought us. We just talk to the Lord, the Father, just as I am, without one thing.
Hallelujah.
Who could I have known for such a thing? Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Have mercy. Grace will not fail. Grace is God's power. The sacrifice he has chosen in Christ. Grace is here now. About that grace. To recreate, to renew, to wash us. That have brought salvation to appear to all men, teaching us to deny our commandments and walk in righteousness. Grace is here now to stand afresh. Tell us something about God, I come. I come. I bless you. Put it back. Put in your belief and your love. He said, God of the Lord Christ, the Father of God, my grandfather. What is the grace of God? Is it just a mere man? That Jesus died for one soul. I see that message. He came to pick me from the gutter 3 years ago after I stood out by my cross and put the message. But grace came to me, even on the street, when I was drinking and wasting away. The grace came to me having just for us to recognize the life to preserve only one. Will you let the grace be in faith? Say to God, this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't listen to me. You will cause changes, you will be a new man, you will wash things away, you will preserve, you will respect the flesh that we have in the past. You will put a lot of time and effort to be on the past as well. But in the end, you will have to survive. Hey, I want to say, God have blessed us. And God has got to lose that to pay for this flesh, for the pastors. God have blessed us. For the children. The grace of God. That's why we are here. God have blessed us. Lord, we
are sorry to confess that your grace has treated us carelessly. So the same grace that has poured on the root of this church and transformed him to become a new of the church. And the same grace that is equally available to all, oh, what a wrong way!